Friday, folks, 28th of May, 2010. On today's program, I've got a gal coming up. She's an activist named Brooke Kelly, and she refers to herself as being the Truth Fairy. And she's been active, I guess, in her own little yellow Mustang. I hope that's not the one that blew the engine out there in Phoenix, Arizona. But she was on with Jet Li, which does the program for Ernie Hancock on Fridays. And I'm just sitting there listening to the program, and everything's hunky-dory until we got around to the subject of immigration. And that's why I invited her on the program today. And there seems to be a little hysteria and a whole lot of racism going on.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Is that Brooke?
Yeah.
Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Okay, great.
So everybody understands what we're dealing with here. We're not dealing with a culture of people that gang rushed the border here and just want to come in here for jobs and, you know, to assimilate into this culture. It's not talking about assimilation. And if you understand who is behind this and the money powers and what they're pushing, you would have a better understanding of it. Now, needless to say, one of our primary duties of our government, the federal government, was protection of its borders. Don't you see that it's kind of odd to go to a subway station in New York City to see people standing around with MP5s and dogs? They'll want to body scan you and cavity search you if they think it's necessary when you go to an airport. We've got cameras all over the country. We've got the governmental agencies snooping and pooping in our emails and our private lives. And for what? Since the inception of this, Ronnie Reagan later admitted he made a mistake by granting amnesty back in 1986, because what that did was turned on the green light. See, the traffic signal was still red on this side, but it gave the green light in Mexico for, hey, if you can get across the border, you can get to America, hey, land of opportunity, and, you know, they're not going to throw you out. And, by the way, while you're there and nothing else to do on a late Friday night, and you look at your mamacita, and, oh, my goodness, now we've got babies being born here. We got generations growing up in this country. And, folks, we are all immigrants, unless you're an American Indian. We all immigrated to this country from someplace else on God's green planet. The difference being that this is not about assimilation into this culture. The other people that immigrated to this country, they came through Ellis Island. They filled out the paperwork. The background checks were done to see if you're a criminal and if you can, you know the drill. But ever since NAFTA and GATT and the SPP, it has been a green light for anybody that can get to Mexico, and we're talking about OTMs as well, other than Mexicans, coming across this border. Now we have cartel drug gangs set up in every major city around the country. Oh, well, it must be because drugs are illegal and there's too much money to be made. Well, let's just legalize the drugs and the Mexicans. We'll be right back.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
I'm going to bring Brooke Kelly up here in a second, but I want to set this thing up so people understand where I'm coming from on this issue. Now, you remember several years ago, I think it was back in 06, back at about this time of the year, springtime out in Los Angeles. This was downtown Los Angeles, California. The scene was recreated in numerous other cities around the country with substantial Mexican populations. Hordes of Mexican expatriates, many here illegally, were protesting the very immigration laws that they were violating with impunity. They found it offensive and a violation of their rights, mind you, that the U.S. dared to have immigration laws to begin with. Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villagrosa mounted the podium, but any hopes that he would quiet the crowds and defend the law were soon dashed. Villagrosa himself has spent a lifetime opposing U.S. immigration law. Well, it should also be noted that Mr. Villagrosa was a former member of Mecha, and we'll get around to that. Also, the Lieutenant Governor, Cruz Bustamante, also former Mecha member. You know, any... You want to know why Los Angeles is a sanctuary city? No, that's why. At any rate, this is what they say. Now, one of our greatest strengths in this country, folks, has always been taking in immigrants from cultures around the world and assimilating them into the country as Americans by being citizens of the U.S. We're Americans first and only in our national loyalties. Now, this is totally opposed by Mecha for the hordes of illegal immigrants pouring across our borders, to whom they say this: Chicano is our identity. It defines who we are as a people. It rejects the notion that we should assimilate into the Anglo-American melting pot. Aslan, and if you don't know what Aslan is, this is the territory that they claim that is theirs, and I'll get around to that issue as well. California, New Mexico, Arizona, Texas, and any place else that they want to say that, oh, it's our ancestral homelands. Aslan was the legendary homeland as of the Aztecas. It became synonymous with the vast territories of the Southwest, brutally stolen from a Mexican people, marginalized and betrayed by the hostile custodians of our manifest destiny. And that was a statement on the University of Oregon Mecha website back in 06. Now, Mecha isn't at all shy about their goals or their views of other races. Their founding principles are contained in these words in El Plan Espiritual de Aslan, the spiritual plan for Aslan. In the spirit of the new people that is a conscious not only of its proud historical heritage, but also of brutal gringo invasion of our territories, we, the Chicanos, inhabitants and civilizers of the northern land of Aslan, from whence came our forefathers, and like I said, we'll get into that in a second, reclaiming the land of their birth and consecrating the determination of our people of the sun, declare that the call of our blood is our power, our responsibility, and our inevitable destiny. Aslan belongs to those who plant the seeds, water the fields, and gather the crops, and not the foreign Europeans. We are bronze people with a bronze culture before the world, before all of North America, before all of our brothers in the bronze continent, they call it. We are a nation. We are a union of free pueblos. We are Aslan for La Raza Toto. Now, the closing sentence, the motto is chilling to everyone who values equal rights for all. It says, for the race, everything. Outside the race, nothing. Now, these are coming straight from the official Mecha websites at Georgetown University, University of Texas, UCLA, University of Michigan, University of Colorado, University of Oregon, and many other colleges and universities around the country. Now, Mecha and the La Raza movement teach that Colorado, California, Arizona, Texas, Utah, New Mexico, Oregon, and parts of Washington State make up the area known as Aslan, a fictional ancestral homeland of the Aztecs before Europeans arrived in North America. As such, it belongs to the followers of Mecha. These are the areas America should surrender to La Raza once enough immigrants, legal or illegal, doesn't matter, enter a claim as a majority as they did in Los Angeles. The current borders of the United States will simply be extinguished. Now, the plan is what is referred to as Reconquista, or reconquest of the Western United States. But it won't end with territorial occupation and secession. The final plan of La Raza movement includes the ethnic cleansing of Americans and Europeans, African and Asian descent, out of Aslan. As Miguel Perez of Cal State Northridge's Mecha chapter has been quoted as saying, the ultimate ideology is the liberation of Aslan. Communism would be the closest. Once Aslan is established, ethnic cleansing would commence. Non-Chicanos would have to be expelled. Opposition groups would be quashed because you have to keep power. Now, former Mecha members included Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villagrosa, who was officially endorsed by La Raza for mayor and was awarded La Raza's, and I can't pronounce this word because, you know what, That's not my primary or even my secondary language, and I'm here in Texas. Down here in Texas, we speak English. See? Now we know why he refuses to condemn the sea of foreign flags in the city. California Lieutenant Governor Cruz Bustamante is also a former member of MECHA. Now, here is the problem. MECHA, La Raza, for this Reconquista program, is being funded by foundations such as Ford Foundation. I called Ford Motor Company that said, that ain't ours. So they have complete disassociation with it. But they've also gotten money funneled through the CIA as well. Now, it seems kind of odd to me that we would have people in this country that are here illegally, number one, and then claim to have rights that only citizens of this country have under the Constitution. What rights do we have in Mexico? Try doing any of this in Mexico, and you probably wouldn't survive. By the way, before I bring up my guest today, Brooke Kelly, the founder of La Raza, José Ángel Gutiérrez, said the following. We have an aging white America. They are dying. They are, and I'll use the correct, the nice term, they are crapping in their pants with fear. I love it. We have a new machismo nation. We have got to eliminate the gringo. And what I mean by that, if the worst comes to worst, we have to kill them. Now, let me give you the short, skinny of true Mexican-American history. Let's make sure we're on the same page here. And not everybody gets this because our news media does not talk about it. We won't teach anything in school of true history. So all people do is sit around, watch the boob tube and go, oh, well, isn't that terrible, these poor people? I'm in agreement. But they need to straighten out their own country, not invade ours, and then claim that six or seven states belong to them and we'll kill the gringos. If that's not racism, I don't know what is. I am not a racist. I have a good, healthy respect for Mexicans. They're very hardworking people. Most of them are very nice. But there's many of them that are not. And they have been robbing and looting and killing and muling drugs into this country. As I said, MS-13 is set up in every major city. Now you're seeing the fruition of that drug pipeline into the United States, because now the cartels down there are trying to trump each other and they're killing their competition off. On this very network webpage, I put some of the pictures of the other drug people, or just the people who resist the drug lords near the Mexican-United States border. They end up in the streets headless. They are killed. Here's a short Mexican history lesson. Mexico never owned the American Southwest. It was conquered by Spaniards, not Mexicans. At the time, the Mexicans themselves were Aztecs, and the Aztecs were conquered by the conquistadors, who were European. Then the conquistadors moved into the north, into Arizona, California, and New Mexico. The next Mexican incursion that didn't happen until Pancho Villa crossed the border in raiding parties and was promptly chased back by U.S. Army General John Pershing. If you think land should be returned to its original occupants, then we need to give it, to whomever. Comanches or the Hopi or the Zunis or whomever. Now, the Mexican government only controlled the American Southwest from 1821 until the Spanish withdrew in 1846, when Spain granted Mexico independence. Notice I said Spain granted Mexico independence. Even by today's fuzzy math, that's only 25 years. But here's the kicker. This was a deal. The U.S. paid Mexico $18.2 million for California by the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. Now, so all this we're taking our land back nonsense regarding Mexicans owning California or Arizona or New Mexico is nothing more than a bucket full of whatever. It is not true. Now, These and if you want to take the issue about taking land back, then the Indios of Mexico, who can trace their roots to the Aztecs and the Mayans, should immediately overthrow the corrupt government of Mexico City, and throw the Campaneros Espanolos out. So if you're a native-born American, be proud of that. After all, would you really want the politicos of Mexico City or their ilk to run California the way they've been running Mexico? I don't hear too many, see. Brooke Kelly, immediately after the break. We'll be right back. All right, folks, we're back. I have Brooke Kelly with me online. Her website, simplyseekingfreedom.com. And, Brooke, how do you bill yourself?
Hello, I'm on. Yes, there we go. Hey.
You're on.
People have called me the truth fairy. And I noticed that you're really interested in the truth, too, because your slogan here looks like it says, because you can handle the truth.
Pretty much, yeah.
So I'm hoping to get the truth out here today. That's what I'm trying to do.
Well, and from your perspective, you go right ahead.
Okay, so to say that that land was not owned by Mexico, you did admit that it was, you know, the conquistadors were there, they owned it, and it was Spanish owned. I mean, what do you think Mexico is? They started off, but that's like saying just because they hadn't gotten their independence yet that they didn't own it is a fallacy. I mean, Marcos de Niza was exploring that area. If you look at the Mexican map, it goes all the way in 1847, all the way up to Oregon. Mm-hmm. And even by more recent accounts, at least, you know, we know it was, they even owned parts of Utah and Nevada. So, I mean, now we're basically coming in and saying, oh, well, we got it last. You know, we're in charge now, so you just have to go back to where you came from all of a sudden. I just don't...
All of a sudden, we didn't have any Mexicans in this country after that deal was made. We had relative peace with Mexico. We traded with them. Everything was fine. We allowed Mexican migrant workers to come up here and earn money picking, you know, whatever out of the fields and whatever, but they were nice enough because they were here on temporary work visas to go back home afterwards. So are you defending this thing that they own parts of Utah, California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas?
At one time, they did own this land, and now we have gotten into a situation where we've got two cultures coming together with a border that lands somewhere between Utah and, you know, Mexico. But I think that people need to just accept that that is what's happened. If you live in that region, then you know that this culture is going to be a big influence there, and then we just need to focus on getting along and seeing what we can do to strengthen our bond with these people.
All right, so if a bunch of communist Chinese want to pull the same crap and come into the country, let me back up a little bit. Because we've had Louis Farrakhan, you're familiar with that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's a Muslim, and he was making demands of the federal government that he wanted landmass inside the United States for Muslims, because there's a number of Muslims here, and we need to protect our ethnic heritage, and we want to worship the way we want to. So what we're going to do is demand certain states, and we don't care which, be turned over to us so we can have a nation state with inside the United States. I kind of see some similarities there.
Right. Well, they're also saying that we need to build a mosque at Ground Zero. I mean, this is ridiculous. I don't agree with it. I don't have a problem with people practicing that religion, but I don't think we owe them anything. I definitely think that we owe these Spanish people and these Mexican people.
I don't owe them nothing. What do I owe them?
The common courtesy of understanding
what?
That they once had this land undisputably, and that now we're living together, we're cohabitating, and we need to treat them like we treat any other white person.
They're not white.
But we need to treat them just like we would treat our brothers and sisters,
uh-huh.
Our blood brothers and sisters. Why is that upsetting to you? Like, why is it such a fantastic claim that we step out of our, quote, American role for a second and understand where another culture... Imagine yourself in their shoes. I mean, how would you feel if that was your land and another nation just came in of a different color skin, of a different social cultures, and just started demanding that certain things happen with your space? Wouldn't you feel a little bit under attack?
Well, your website says simply seeking freedom. Whose freedom are you seeking?
I am seeking freedom for every person on this planet, unless they are a criminal and have a true criminal history. And are violent in some way, I believe that their rights should be protected.
What rights?
They're God-given rights.
Oh, well, wait a minute. No, talk to the ACLU about that, because we had a separation of church and state thing back in the early 60s. And that's where that came from, that, well, there's separation of church and state. Well, wait a minute. That wasn't the first. We go back to the First Amendment. We allowed people to come here, and this was to prevent a state-operated or state sanctioned an oligarchy of religion here in America. That's what that was about. It wasn't a separation of God and state, because I don't know if anybody really gets this or not. You know, all the things that we hold near and dear, like I can't go and rape you without getting in trouble, or if you were married, I couldn't go murder your husband, or I can't sit here and tell lies about you, because this just didn't osmotically rub off of some green moss-covered tree someplace. These are precepts that come right out of the Bible. So anyhow, that's a different topic. But so you're advocating here, and I just read you what these people are about and who's funding them and what their core ideology is. So you're prepared to give them Washington or Oregon or California or New Mexico or Arizona or Texas? You're prepared to give them to it?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, then after the break, we'll find exactly what Brooke Kelly wants for our compañeros that are over here visiting, and by their ideology permanently, to take over part of the United States. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right, Brooke, I'm going to not concede a point, but I'm not going to keep beating you up over it, because, you know, it brings on many other things. We did the Louisiana Purchase in this country. We bought it from the French. It was once owned by the French, but I don't see a bunch of Frenchmen coming over through Louisiana and the bayous claiming that they still own it, any more than Alaska that once belonged to the Russians. If I find 10,000 Russians camped in Alaska and they're saying, hey, this is our ancestral homeland, we're here to take it back.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the French, because I actually grew up in southern Louisiana. And I was just telling Jet Lacey earlier that, you know, these people, these Cajun people and Creole people, would get on welfare the same. And, you know, you could say they were causing problems or whatever, but no one was pointing fingers at anyone because everybody's white. And nobody noticed where anyone's heritage was from, whether they were French or not, because people spoke the same accent. Mm-hmm. So, but all this, but, you know, it's not a problem in my neck of the woods, but it's a huge problem here. And I have to say, I'm pretty offended by you trying to liken them to Muslim terrorists. You know, that's just completely, and people calling them illegal aliens, like they're aliens from another world. And
they are aliens.
They are not aliens. They are immigrants. They are friends. They are family of people that I know. And, you know, for you to say they are robbing and killing people and doing
drugs. They are.
White people are robbing people and killing and doing drugs, too. Should we just kick out all white people from the country?
No, because they were born here. We throw them in prison. The unfortunate part is, rather than just ejecting these people that are not naturalized citizens or not born in this country, we've got to throw them in prison first, and then we deport them. But that's on the taxpayer's dime. That's on the taxpayer's dime.
Well, we shouldn't have taken their land from them then.
Oh, geez, oh, Pete. Okay.
We've just got to share, man. We need
You know what you remind me of? I grew up in the 60s. You know, with peace, love, and dope, and bell-bottoms, and property is a crime, and let's just drop acid. You don't trust anybody over 30 because they're now part of the establishment. You don't trust the government. Well, that was one thing they had right. You don't trust the government because the government's just there to screw you. But when we ask the government to do something that is by law, by constitution, and this is where I have the problem. If you don't like the law, if you don't like the Constitution, well, then have a freaking revolution and throw out that government and set up whatever the hell you want to. Then we can all sing Kumbaya and smoke dope and just have a good time.
Well, we are in the middle of a revolution, and we are trying to do something about these problems, and we are the hippie revival. Thank you very much for quitting on us there, man. We're still working on it. We're still forging ahead, and we're still going to make big things happen, just like y'all set out to do.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, I didn't set out to steal anybody's property. I even remember the 60s, which many veterans of the 60s can't claim because they were too buzzed out. At any rate, I've got a load of callers for you, Brooke, so just hold on here.
Bring it on, baby.
Okay. We'll bring... By the way, I went through and I watched all your videos on your site and everything else. I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay. And you still like me?
You're on the air right now, aren't you?
Okay, then.
Okay. Let's go to Dave in Canada. Hello, Dave.
Hello, John.
Hi.
How are you today? Well, I'm as wound up because I listened to Brooke on Jet Show, and thank you for coming on. Brooke, I have a couple questions for you. Where have you traveled in this world?
I've been to 48 U.S. states and Canada and Mexico.
Well, you haven't been off the continent.
Not off the continent, no.
Hmm. You need an education, Brooke.
I have two college degrees, thank you very much. I'm educated. I've done my research here.
Not from your comments. Now, I'm not here to challenge you, but I think you better travel in Eastern Europe. I think you better travel in Europe, Asia, and a few other countries around, and see what kind of rights, human rights, civil rights, what you talked to both sides of your mouth today on Jet Show, that all of a sudden, oh, you believe that human rights and liberty rights and civil rights were all the same, except for people who were not doing anything illegal. Well, as far I live up in Canada, but my grandparents immigrated from Arkansas, so I'm basically immigranted. Now, they came over from Europe to the U.S., but everybody has to follow the laws. In Canada, you should travel up into Canada and see what kind of problems we have with the multiculturalism and the different factions that want to bring their country to ours.
It causes problems, doesn't it, Dave?
It's causing huge problems. Like, look at our one claim to fame. Look at our RCMP officers. A horseback, red uniform, hat, whole bit. Well, all of a sudden, the Indian population did whatever they had to do, and oh no, it was politically correct that they wear a turban on our horse now. That's not an RCMP officer. Look, when you assimilate to another country, you have to abide by their rules and regulations. Well, up here in Canada, oh, we're too politically correct. We can't hurt anybody's feelings. Everybody has a say. Well, that's not the way. I'm sorry, Brooke. You have to travel. Go around the world, and you try to claim your rights and everything in other countries. They'll lock you up. You try immigrating into South America or try to go into Mexico or any European country without the proper papers. You're thrown in jail.
I'm really sad to hear that. I didn't know that happened, but I mean...
Whoa. And from you saying the Mexicans should be able to take their country back or come back up into the U.S., we have a lot of immigrant pickers from Mexico come up. Hey, well, our country's bigger than yours, and we only have 10% of the population, but we have a lot of immigrant pickers come up, work, and they leave, okay? There are proper channels for them to immigrate, but when you're talking about, oh, we shouldn't be so nasty about having these Mexicans come back, I don't hear you talking about Israel and the West Bank. What are they doing to those poor people over there?
That's another not necessarily another issue, because it still falls under that human rights thing.
Right.
Yeah. I got your point. Thank you, Dave, for your call. Would you like to respond to that?
It's terrible that this is going on in other countries, but for us to say that because everyone else is doing it, we should emulate that and not be concerned with the negative repercussions that it's having for the people who are having to go through this.
Brooke, you know, I laid this out at the beginning. These people are not interested in assimilating into this culture. They're interested in bringing their own culture and converting this country into whatever they deem is right.
That's a blanket statement. I went to one of the protests in Los Angeles, and I talked to Ramon Reyes, and he told me that he came here seeking to try to make his business into something large because he didn't have that opportunity in Mexico. They can only go so high up the chain. They're not allowed to own their own business and succeed in the way that we are in America.
Okay,
and
so they see something convenient right next door to them, to the north, where they think they can do this. So that gives them the legal right, the moral authority to come up here and do this?
Look,
because they can't straighten out their own government in Mexico?
I already said earlier, I mean, if we have to agree that there's going to be a process by which they come into the country and work legally, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's the best option, but I would compromise on that. I would hear what you're saying and understand that that's important to you, and I would vote for your right to be able to have that done. But what I'm saying is, do not kick out these people who we've allowed to stay here for years and years and years.
Would it shock you? Well, here illegally, and just by virtue of the fact that I can suck face and bump uglies and drop my prodigy on this soil, that they're automatically American citizens? That's not right. I hear Jet laughing in the background. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of outrageous.
It is, but it's true.
You're arguing in favor of a retroactive law that violates these people's rights. And
What rights they have? You keep going back. And like I said, do the French have rights now to the Louisiana Purchase? Can they come back and reconquer, you know, New Orleans? Or can the Russians come back and reconquer Alaska?
No.
Okay. Well, it's...
But to those who have been living there, I mean, cut them a break. They're good people. You make these blanket statements like they're all bad and they're terrible. But, you know, aren't we concerned with our reputation in the world right now?
We have no reputation.
Right, so we need to be repairing it by being friendly towards our neighbors.
I can be friendly. You heard me on Jet Lacy's show today. I had a friend, and he was and I'll tell you how good this guy was. He turned down a $235 million bribe from the guy that used to be over there in the Philippines by the name of Ferdinand Marcos. His charge was to get Ferdinand into Mexico. Ferdinand wanted to protect his assets, and he said to him, he said, look, he says, if you get all my assets into U.S. banks, I will give you $235 million. He told him no. He had done what, and the United States Department of Agriculture isn't supposed to be doing clandestine, let's move dictators out of one country and put them in another. But that was his charge. That's what he had done. But when it came down to the point of bribing him to move his assets into U.S. banks, he said absolutely no. But this guy, the reason I give you the background on the guy's honesty, this guy had actually gone to United States senators and U.S. congressmen, all assembled in Washington, D.C. He was on first-name basis with them. He could go and knock on their doors any given time. Got a minute? Yeah, come on in. Can you or I do that? No, we can't. But he said, look, and this was 20 years ago. He says, I see a problem down in Mexico. They have the same crime and corruption and have bought off politicians and everything else. And he said, the Mexican people are suffering. They deserve a break. I have a plan. I called it the Oil for Peace Program. And the United States government will make a deal with the Mexican government. We'll buy your commodity, specifically oil. Every drop that you want to sell to us, you want to send to the U.S., we will buy. With a proviso, The 20% right off the top goes right back into your government operations for schools, roads, bridges, anything else, water treatment facilities, purification plants, anything that you deem necessary for the infrastructure of your company, you will literally have billions of dollars. Did they take them up on it?
No.
No, they did not.
They didn't.
And we've got a problem here because people want to ignore the law, both our federal government and the fine people that are coming up from Mexico. I'm not saying that all these people are bad. I am. If you know anything about me, which you probably don't because it's the first time I heard of you today, Jet Lacy subbing for Ernie Hancock, I have said repeatedly on this program, I am not prejudiced against the Mexican people. They're a fine people. The only problem is that they broke the law. They came into this country. Our government turned a blind eye since we were striking these deals, since they had this idea that Canada, United States, Mexico, Central and South America, that we're just one great big happy family. Let's destroy the sovereignty and all the borders and the law. Let's just kill all of it. But this is what they were being promoted and told down in Mexico. Hey, look, if you can get into the U.S., you can go get a job. You know, bring up your people and, hell, 20 of you can live in a household and you can buy brand new trucks. That's what they do. I've seen it here in Texas. What did it for me, Brooke, when I was running this network and we were literally, we had no money whatsoever. My wife and I went to work for a housing a company down here in Texas that builds houses. And we went to clean their model homes. What did it for me was the day I walked out of one of those houses with a little vacuum cleaner and Windex in the other hand. And I stopped and I looked across the street. And houses were being built by illegals, taking American jobs, skilled labor jobs away because these people thought, hey, it's a hell of a lot cheaper to hire these Mexicans than it is give this white guy or this black guy or an American that job. They took advantage of a people that they knew that they didn't have legal standing. They underpaid them, overworked them, and a whole host of other things. Oh, by the way, the crap load of that money went right back into the Mexican economy. It didn't even circulate here. They didn't pay any taxes. The money didn't stay here. But yet they were displacing Americans out of jobs in their own country. What the hell is up with that? We still have millions of Americans that are unemployed right now. That Mexicans, illegals, are still occupying those jobs.
It's because they offer better rates.
Oh, God.
If I have a job that needs to get done, I'm going to go with the one who's the lowest bidder. And well, I should have a right to do that.
You should have a right to hire an illegal. I'd rather see your ass in jail for doing that because that's the law.
Ooh.
Ooh.
But
I'm sorry.
What we really need to look at here, and you said this earlier yourself, that you're, you know, why do they have to snoop into every aspect of our private lives? Why are they doing that? That's completely tied into what's going on right here because they've got this national ID that they're going to force people to take, whether they like it or not. And this is not Mexican people only. This is all people. It's got an RFID chip in it, a biometric identifier.
I know what it is.
That's got a GPS on it. They can track you anywhere you go.
So we're going to get out of this national ID card by granting sanctuary and citizenship to 25 million illegal people.
Yeah, well, you need to understand the implications of what you're advocating here.
Yeah, I understand completely what
I'm
advocating.
I was driving back through that area on I-10 coming back from Los Angeles last year, from Mexico actually last year, and I got arbitrarily pulled over, probably because I was driving a bright yellow convertible Mustang, and they just thought, that looks like she's probably irresponsible.
No, it looked like a hot chick in a convertible is what it looked like.
Well,
but anyhow.
Wanted to see what was going on inside my car. They had their drug dogs all up inside. They broke things in my car. Mm-hmm. They treated me like a criminal when I had done nothing. Mm-hmm. Are you in favor of this?
Let me ask you a question. Why is that on I-10? And why is that not being done on the border?
Because they have extended the border out of 50 to 100 miles.
Yes, they have.
And they've got a no rights zone there where your Constitution does not protect you driving down America Highway.
Bingo, and that's the buffer between the United States and Mexico, just to give them a little bit more leniency. Why should we have checkpoints 50 or 100 miles inside the Mexican border when the problem is emanating from the U.S. and Mexican border?
Don't you agree? I mean, that's the New World Order that's going on right now. That's in effect.
The New World Order is laughing up its sleeve and are going, man, we need more people like Brooke here. Because what they want to cause is consternation. They want to cause conflict within a country, and that's what we have. So
they do want to cause conflict. That's exactly what they're doing. It's called conquer and divide, my friend.
You're aiding and abetting it.
Conquer and divide, and we need to conquer and divide by coming together.
No, you're capitulating is what you're doing, and you think you're freedom fighting. Therein lies the difference. We'll continue with Brooke Kelly. She's got a lot of guts coming on this program, folks. I will give her that. Please be kind with her. We've got many callers that want to talk to you. We'll take this break, and we'll be right back. What's happening here is very clear. The man with the shiny badge. He's going to pull over to blonde-haired, blue-eyed people and demand their papers. Well, do we demand papers of people that are coming in from foreign countries to check them out to make sure that they're not criminals? This is what Mexico has as far as their law about illegal immigrants or aliens. Ooh. Mexico has a single streamline law that ensures that foreign visitors and immigrants are in the country legally, have the means to sustain themselves economically, not destined to be burdens on society, of economic and social benefit to society, of good character and have no criminal record, and contributors to the general well-being of the nation. The law also ensures that immigration authorities have record of each foreign visitor. Foreign visitors do not violate their visa status. Foreign visitors are banned from interfering in a country's internal politics. Foreign visitors who enter under false pretenses are imprisoned or deported. Foreign visitors violating the terms of their entry are imprisoned or deported. Those who aid in illegal immigration will be sent to prison. Now, who could disagree with such a law? The Mexican government doesn't. The United States is the only country criticized for defending borders from illegal immigrants. And Mexico, which annually deports more illegal aliens than the United States does, they have much to teach us about immigration laws. Let's go back to the phones here. Jim in Florida. You're on with Brooke Kelly.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
Brooke, I hate to say it, but your song only has one note. I appreciate your position, but you need to step back and get a good look at the whole picture. You need to look at the other side of the fence. You need to find out what it is that is driving these people out of Mexico and forcing them to come to America. You're not thinking about, well, what about all these women that come up here and are forced into prostitution? What about these men and women who come here and have to leave their families in Mexico? They're coming here for economic reasons. They can't be with their families. They can't be with their husbands and wives and children. They're here to eke out a living, send money back to help support them back there. What is the reason? What is driving this? Hey, you need to do some research. And the first thing you need to do is listen to Republic Broadcasting Network every day.
I doubt that's going to happen.
Are you giving me a homework assignment?
I think he is.
You think you're the truth fairy? Republic Broadcasting is a truth fairy, okay? These people that are on here have done their research. There is a plethora, or a plethora, however you want to pronounce that, of information if you want to dig in and find out what the real truth is. The truth about Mexico is all economics, and it was done on purpose. Now, I was born and raised in Colorado. I spent a lot of time all over the Southwest. My wife right now is from Nicaragua. I just got back from Nicaragua. I was down there for 3 weeks. I know the Mexican people. I love the Mexican people. I love all of the Central American people, and I have a lot of friends from Colombia. I worked in Miami. I was a police officer. I know the Cubans over there. I know what happened to them when they came here. There is so much information that you're missing. that you don't understand.
Enlighten me.
All right, I'll tell you what, Jim, hang on, because we're at the top of the hour here. Brooke Kelly is my guest. The website, simplyseekingfreedom.com. And all you callers, we'll get to all your calls. Please do not go anywhere. We'll get to you right after the top of the hour break.
It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take America back. We must take America back.
The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states.
We ain't going to take it back, man. We're going to give it to the MAGICONs. This is the second hour of the National Intel Report. Just having a little fun on this Memorial Day weekend coming up. We will be here Monday. We will be broadcasting Monday. I will be here, even though everybody else is going to take off and it's a holiday. Truth never sleeps. Jim in Florida, let me ask you a question. When were you a police officer down there in Florida, and where in Florida?
There's a town called Hialeah. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah. The Pink Flamingos. I saw the Hialeah racetrack right outside of Miami. Back in what time period?
74, 73 to 99, I believe.
So then you saw the drug wars going on when the Colombians were shipping in the cocaine. By the way, that's the drug that built Miami. And
I was in the middle of all that.
And it wasn't really a problem because everybody was doing coke and enjoying the money until headless bodies started showing up in the streets, right? That's when...
Well, it wasn't just headless bodies. It was running gun battles in mall, shopping mall parking lots and down the middle of the street where these people were shooting at each other for territory, you know, domination.
Uh-huh.
And they didn't care about anybody else that was in the street. They were just shooting at each other, and if they missed and hit an innocent person, they didn't care about that.
Well, did you see those pictures that I had posted on Republic Broadcasting?
Yes, I did.
And these,
that doesn't surprise me a bit.
No, and these were pictures, and Brooke, I wish I could call them up for you. These are pictures of a rival gang right across the Mexican-U.S. border, and that's how they dealt with people. There's a drug cartel. They're vying for position to run the drugs in this country, and down there, they just don't fool around, man. They just, for public display, they cut their heads off and posted them on a bus stop. It was the most disgusting thing I'd ever seen in my life, and I wrestled with my own conscience whether I should put those pictures on. But then I discovered that other people that couldn't report this were very interested in seeing more pictures. One of them was CNN. A guy called me up and he says, "Do you have the copyrights on that?" And I said, "No, they were sent to me from somebody else." And I said, "What would you do with that anyhow? You wouldn't post them on CNN. That would cause too much consternation. People would want to put that to a stop." Well, in Arizona, they're doing exactly that. They're doing, and it mirrors federal law, that they're going to do in Arizona what the federal government refuses to do. And 17 other states.
But what you've got to understand is that we need to focus on a solution that actually fixes the problems that the locals are having. What I said earlier was that criminals don't have rights.
Local what?
Local to Arizona. But I mean, criminals don't have rights. They don't have the right to do that. I would never advocate that a criminal had the right to any kind of destruction like that.
Uh-huh.
But there are solutions that we can come to that would help these people and help us and, you know, be a compromise on things. But people should not be allowed to commit violent acts. The government's not doing their job properly, or these people would already be behind bars.
Well, and that's why you're seeing the checkpoints on I-10. Because they're already here inside the country and they shouldn't have been in the first place.
Brooke.
But the law wasn't being enforced. So you want to retroactively enforce a law, and that's just not right.
Jim, hang on a second. We've got to take this break. JG, Renee, Tumani, and Ivan, and others, we'll get to all of your calls. Please don't go away. Jim, when we get back, I'll ask you to wrap up, if you please, so we can move on to other callers with my guest today. We'll be right back.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Jim, we are back and with Brooke Kelly. The website, again, is simplyseekingfreedom.com. Jim, go ahead and conclude if you would.
A couple things. Brooke, do you speak Spanish?
No, I don't.
My goodness. That's one thing you're going to need to have to do if you're serious about this issue. Two things. Number one, this immigration problem with Mexico is a very small part of a very large picture. You need to learn to speak some Spanish. You need to go into the barrios, the neighborhoods where these people live on the outskirts of town. You have to get up early in the morning and watch them ride their bicycles to work over long distances, and then ride them late at night to get back to their little hovel where they live. And I know about this. I have firsthand knowledge. I'm in Southwest Florida. We have a very large Mexican population here. We have a lot of agriculture, and because of the country clubs, we have a lot of these landscaping companies, big landscaping companies that employ nothing but mostly Mexicans, Ecuadorians, and that type. Okay, get out and learn and talk to these people, and you'll find out they don't want to be here. They would much rather be home, but they're here out of desperation.
Yeah, and that's
all I really have to say to you.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate it. And like I said, Brooke, I understood the underlying reasons why the majority of them came here, and that was for economic opportunity that they couldn't find in Mexico. Well, and I'm very sorry for that. There are many third world, backward, dictator-led countries that people don't have any rights. They have the right to breathe and live one more day if they conduct the man with the shiny badge. And I understand that. But this is not the issue that we're talking about. We're talking about an issue of obeying the law. And these people that are here do not want to assimilate into this culture. By kind of your own admission there, they don't want to assimilate into this culture. Why do you think that we have hundreds and thousands of radio stations, Spanish-speaking stations, that you call up on any business phone? Do you want to hear this in Spanish? Do you want to hear it in English? I'm sorry, was I magically transported? Did Captain Picard zap me down to Mexico City in the middle of the night? Why do I need a choice in language? I'm living in the United States, which is an English-speaking country. Why do we have TV?
Right, but you know if you live in that area that you're going to have to, that's one of the things that you're going to have to see and experience is their culture, their language, their music. You don't mind eating their food. You don't mind going to their grocery store and getting their really good prices. But, I mean, you just need to understand that that comes with the territory
Hold on, hold on a second. I don't eat Mexican food. And I don't.
A lot of people do. A lot of your listeners do, I bet.
Well, they might eat in a Mexican restaurant that's regulated by the local townsfolk here on cleanliness and food preparation and freshness of food. If I see anything that says Mexico on it, I don't eat it because I hate Mexico or Mexicans. I eat it because they don't have the same standards that we have for quality. That's the difference. I'm telling you, I'm serious. Let's just continue.
Yeah, but let's not act like we're doing them a favor by sending them back to our country, like your last caller suggested. I mean, he said, I'm a one-note girl. I am a one-note girl, and my note is love. And if we've got unjust laws, it is our duty as a responsibility as American citizens to challenge those laws and make this a better place for everyone to live
Brooke,
in.
Brooke, you said that I quit on the 60s. I quit on my generation, that I walked away from. You know why I walked away from them? Because what I realized was all the peace, love, and dope, and the hell with property and the hell with establishment. I found out that that movement was backed by communism. That's why I walked away from it.
The hippies were not backed by communists.
Oh, for God's sakes. Are you
trying to justify why you left now? Why you just abandoned the younger generations and leaving us to just fend for ourselves?
I didn't abandon the younger generation. It abandoned me. I got older.
Well, that's fine, but you should at least be thankful that the new generation has come in to pick up where y'all left off and is still trying to fight instead of picking up that briefcase and putting on that suit and going to work for the man.
No, I work for myself.
You do, sir, but not all of your listeners do.
A lot of them are unemployed because their jobs have been taken by these people that you want to give sanctuary to.
Then they need to realize that these people who have been deleting their jobs and slashing their homes are the same people that are pushing this national ID card. And I, for one, I'm not going to put up with it. I'm not okay with the fact that I got pulled over, not at the border, but kind of close, but more like 50 miles away from the border last year. I had drug dogs up in my car just to see what I was doing. And you shouldn't be okay with that either, sir.
Well, I'm not a libertarian. I have some issues with libertarians on the issues that we shouldn't have any borders. I've got a real problem with that one, but we'll leave that go for another time.
Well, I'm not a libertarian, just to be clear.
Okay. If I had to give you a name, what would I call you? If I had to pigeonhole you and categorize you, what little pigeon box would I stick you in?
Well, fairies don't go in boxes, number one. We don't like cages. We don't fit in boxes.
Okay.
But if you had to call me something, you could call me Brooke. And I believe in liberty. And whatever party or whatever candidate is going to actually carry out that liberty that I'm seeking, then I'm all for it.
Okay. JG in California.
Hi, John. It's an honor.
How you doing in California? Where in California are you?
San Diego.
Okay. Go ahead.
Hi, Brooke.
Hello.
Got a couple of comments. I was with two federal agencies, Brooke, in law enforcement, immigration, and DOD. And we'd go on raids and pick up those, what they call illegals. And I'd drive them back because I used to drive for Greyhound, so I had bus experience, so I got delegated that duty. So I've seen the gamut. I've been in this about 35 years, Brooke. And, you know, like Jim said, research, I do believe, is really the answer. And until you understand, how old of a woman are you, Brooke?
I'm 31.
Okay.
And so a good-looking 31, I might add. I have actually seen her video. She's a very, very handsome woman.
But, John, is she single like Hillary was when I met her? Hillary was so fat she had to wear a hammock for a bra, but I got her down, John. I wouldn't lie to you. I mean, she wanted to make love in the back seat and told me to get up front and drive, and I knew Al Gore was back there last night. Putting comedy aside, it's just that, Brooke, many of our people think that they understand the world, but they don't. But until you understand who really runs the world, which is, I think, a lot what John was purporting, because many of us have been in this fight, and John's been in the news business, on networks. He has all the experts that even know more than us. And we all think we know it. Really, any of this is opinion. In some cases, it seems like, well, we have our experts and they have ours, Brooke. But until we figure out how to do this right, and arrive at some kind of resolution. And it looks like they're not going to let us do it by legislation, Brooke. Your whole life is probably going to be upside down very soon, right in your face, as it is at Nuevo Laredo down there. I've got Border Patrol friends. Like I say, I was with immigration for a short time, long enough to see, and it wasn't as bad in those days back in the 80s. But like I say, this is all orchestrated in your face, Brooke. You're 31, you're my child's age, and, you know, my son grew up with weapons. I taught him, I had Navy SEALs training him, I taught him every martial art that I could. But he's not even buying a weapon, met a slut on the internet, and I'm just totally disillusioned with my child. But he's listening now a little bit after what happened in Montana last year with Alex Jones. And as I say, your Pollyanna view is refreshing. But like I say, in the first place, not being born here, nobody has any rights. Because, and the allowances of legislators, you know, allowing anchor babies has to be dealt with swiftly by Congress, by prosecution of those legislators, I feel, to go to prison. We're a nation of laws, and setting history aside, who really owned what then, now, or then doesn't matter now. What transpired historically was we paid for the damn deal, and so case closed. That's just the way it is historically. We own it now. And so now it is, the border is one side, U.S., the other side is Mexico. That's international law, Brooke. So now we each have our own laws, which constitute ingress or egress, which is like when I worked for DOD at the Naval Base as a civil service police officer, we decide who we let in. And you know what Mexico does, or if you don't, on their eastern border, you'll find out soon. These are under immigration laws. Each country has it, period. They have theirs, we have ours, not to mention the financial burden that imposed on the U.S. That's a fact. And Jim was right, and John is right, and all the other experts that we have on these networks is right. And whether anybody wants to believe that, my brother, he denies. His wife was Russian. She knows what Stalin was raised under. Her mother was living under. I can talk to my sister about the conspiracy theory. But until you really adamantly start from the beginning and go on NorthernVoiceBookstore.com or ConspiracyKing.com or Hidden Mysteries, those are the books and DVDs. I know Anthony Hilder. He formerly filmed me in a Bill Clinton spoof right down here in Las Vegas, and I got very close to the man. He knows Bob Chapman, a very prominent economist, I guess, and he owned 20 years on Wall Street. So he understands the financial burden of this world, as Robbie Noel, which is John's co-host on Tuesday afternoon. You should listen to that show and learn a little economics.
JG, this is the most animated I have ever heard you.
Yes, sir. I'm just very concerned about our country, John, and I got to start taking care of myself instead of the world. And I understand Brooke's passion. I understand how she feels about the families and everything because yeah. I saw it personally up close. But when you lie like I do to the American people, John, I learned. But here, setting comedy aside, it's just the fact that Brooke, you really should, before you set up a website, which I don't know what's on there, but you need quite a bit of historical and political background. Political correctness is not for this country right now.
But did you see it close up? Did you look into the eyes of that woman who was being torn apart from her child because of some new arbitrary law? Did you look her in the eyes and see that up close?
She should not be here in the first place.
Man, JG, got to run.
No, he's not cold-hearted any more than I'm cold-hearted. It's ironic. I'm going down to San Antonio, and there is a visitor up from Florida. Well, she's not just a visitor. She's working here now. And I'm going to take her down to San Antonio. We're going to see the Riverwalk, and then I'm going to take her over to the Alamo. And, Brooke, I'm going to put a plaque there on the Alamo for you. What do you want it to say?
I want it to say love.
Love.
Love one another.
Okay. Not anything else, just love one another.
Peace, love, and unity, man. That's what it's about. It's about coming together as a whole. And if I remember correctly, yes. I believe that I saw you in the movie Camp FEMA.
Yes.
Is that not right?
That's true.
Okay. So then you are aware that it has been a bill passed in America that allows them to create these camps. Who do you think this new home is going to be for?
The Aslanos. I don't know. Who's going to be for? Do you think it's going to be for us?
Well, they're saying that it's going to be for Mexicans and for other illegals, like they were saying, when they put the Japanese in there.
Mm-hmm.
And people have, wondered if they're going to be for white people as well.
Well, and I'm sure, I was didn't plan on having you on a whole 2 hours, though I'm glad that I'm doing this, but let me see, where the hell did the story go? I'll pull it up here in a few seconds. Oh, the new Obama security strategy targets Americans radicalized by Al-Qaeda or anybody else. So they hate dissension. The government doesn't like its people anymore. So I imagine one of those nice little FEMA camps might be designed for me if I'm too radicalized. Yeah.
Well, it's on. That's a. You could say that's a theory, or you could look up the papers online and see that that is a part of the plan.
Oh, I know.
And they're targeting people like me and my friends.
Mm-hmm.
So and I'm a political activist. I stick my neck out there. I say things that they don't want me to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So my thing is now I'm driving through this area. I actually avoided I-10. I did not. I chose not to come through Phoenix because I went up north of Arizona so that I wouldn't have to deal with these criminals at the borders pulling people over arbitrarily, and they're trying to pass this national ID card, mm-hmm. which is trackable. So now someone like me, someone like myself, who is offensive towards the government because I disagree with their war policy,
mm-hmm.
And their financial policy, someone like me is a target. So now I'm just driving through. Right now it's just 100 miles outside of the border on mm-hmm. I-10, but maybe next time I travel through this, I can't even go on I-40 because they're going to be looking to pick up people like me. And wouldn't it be very convenient if my good friends, my liberty-minded friends, sold me out and had this national card inflicted on me, and then whenever they want to find me, they can. And if they want to put me in one of these camps, they can. Are you thinking that it's okay for them to have, like, give me a one-way ticket to one of these camps?
No,
for the sake of this. This immigration law?
Oh, no. This has been on the books for quite some time. They started with the Social Security card back in the 30s. That was supposed to never be used for identification, and that became your official government number.
Exactly.
You have been tracked and traced for a long, long time.
But it's heating up. And
it's heating
it's
up.
It's been accelerated.
It's been accelerated, and I, for one, am not for a national ID card.
Well,
but when somebody...
And
hold on a second here, dear. When the police run up on somebody on a routine traffic stop, not to single them out because they look Mexican, because they're going to have a hell of a time here in Mexico or Texas, because there's a lot of Mexicans, multi-generational, which, by the way, the majority, and I mean over 51% of the Mexicans living in this country legally, are against the illegal immigrants in this country. Now, how does that fly in your ointment there? That doesn't sound too promising. Because they are Americans, and they understand that they came here legally. They're protecting themselves. They're protecting their livelihood. They don't want to be undercut by some guy that is going to come in with a crew of two or three people, and they got 15 people living in a house. He doesn't want to be done out of his job because some illegal, whether it be from his home country, they don't want it either. So we have a problem here.
We do. We have a problem. And you're my brother, and I care about you. And so I want to talk about ways that we can solve this problem without harming my other brothers and sisters. Are solutions that we can...
Which one? The illegal aliens that are here?
I'd like to not call them illegal aliens.
Well, I will. It's
They're
my show.
Immigrants.
It's my show. I can call them what I want.
Well, I'm going to call them immigrants.
Well, you go ahead right and do that.
And I'm going to say, you know, if you don't like them being on welfare, you know, then let's eliminate them being on welfare.
Let's just keep them out of the country. Can we do that rather than chase this thing around?
A lot of these people would agree to forfeit their welfare because they're coming. These are hardworking people. You want to generalize? I'll generalize on this note. These are hardworking people, and they're reliable, and they care about their jobs, and they're coming here to work. So if you want to say kick them off of welfare, kick them off. If you want to say don't give them health care, don't give it to them, you know?
But you understand, and that's why I went into the background. You're all full of this peace, love, and dope idea, and there's nothing. Look, I'm not condemning you for this. I'm not condemning you for that. We need more peace in the world, but the way we have peace is respect. And number one on the starting block is respect for the law, okay? If we don't have that, then let's just throw everything out the window. Let's just go into full-blown anarchy, and hell, we'll probably have Russians taking half the country and the Mexicans taking the other half.
I'm not an anarchist either. But...
Okay, then. Let's go to Renee. Hello, Renee. Oh, Renee? Hold on a second. We got to take this break. We'll be right back.
We must take America back.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
All right, we're back. Renee, go. You're on the air.
Okay. Now, you know, I, for this to be a fair debate, you have had a lot of support calling in, and you've given them ample time to back you. Now, Brooke, I've got your back here.
Woohoo!
I am here to help you because this radio network is right about a lot of things, which is why I have listened to it for a long time. And I'm like you. I would like to join up instead of divide, okay? And so, because there are certain issues that we do have in common. But you have entered white boy testosterone zone. Okay, practically all the hosts are white men on the entire network, and it's pretty much all a slanted view that will benefit them, okay? And that's just the truth. Now, because I listen to this network a lot, I know when they are cheating in a debate and when they would say something normally in one situation, they're leaving that out. And it, putting it slanting. Now, one thing I've noticed is how the men have called in, and there are a few good ones. I don't want you to think they all like this. There are some good ones. Okay.
Let's get your definition of good, Renee. What is good in your book?
Well, some that are accepting to women. They don't think that automatically, if you have a muffin instead of a Mr. Winky, that you need schooling, little girl. You need to sit down and listen. They have been calling in and talking down to you like you're an idiot, and they're being very polite about it, but made the same. They're talking down to you, okay? They're coming at you from kind of a one-up position and talking to you as if you're in the one down position.
Oh, you know, Renee, she must have missed the program. Maybe you did as well, where I said that women shouldn't have the right to vote in this country.
Oh, I was getting to that.
Oh, okay.
I'm so glad you brought that up. Yes, Brooke, you're talking to someone who, now he will claim he's not racist and he'll claim he's not sexist, but he goes on and on about those great times, the 1950s. Let's see, that was the time, before the 1960s, before we women and the darkies got the horrible idea that we should have equal or civil rights. That's why they're so nostalgic for that time, because it was before. Now, they believe in freedom for themselves, but they do not believe in freedom for you, because I'll add to that, John, I've also heard you say how not only do you think women should not vote, but you think it should also be property people, which is property males. And since we know Mexicans and dark people, you know, black people don't own a lot of property, that would pretty much put the power and control of the
country. No, Renee, I'll put it this way. If you're white, you're all right. If you're brown, maybe we'll consider you can stick around. But if you're black, you got to go back.
I am done with this show.
No,
that's it.
Not. It's not true. It's not true. And you know that, Renee. Renee, you know that.
From a dissenting point of view, particularly for a woman, my mouth almost fell open. You only allow the women who are.
Do you understand? Now, Renee, hold on. Do you understand what the women's movement was all about in this country? It wasn't about empowering.
Hold on,
Renee. Let me talk, and I'll let you talk. That's the way this works. We can't both talk at the same time. What was behind a women's movement was to bust up the family. And now this was sold as empowering the women to let them get out in the workforce and compete with the men and be breadwinners. They've got rights, too. Nobody ever said that women didn't have rights. Nobody ever said that. And my issue about property, when this country was formed, that was the suggestion, that people that had a stake rather than a migrant or a transitory person that's neither here nor there and they're everywhere, that they vote in their elections to determine what is best for their interest, not only politically but economically. as well. Okay.
Okay, but didn't what's her name, Gloria Steinem, admit in her autobiography that she was CIA? So the thing is, we know that the people in power infiltrate, whether it's blacks, women's, anybody else.
Sure.
They always infiltrate those movements. So who really, John, was behind those movements? Who took them over to make sure they were never successful for those people and that it would help to retain power in the hands of the establishment, okay? Because she admitted that, and we know that. So the thing is, it's not this whole bust up of the family thing. I agree. I think Irma Russo was probably white. They looked at those women and thought, but who was it? The ruling white man looked at all those women and go, wow, let's, you know, we got half the slaves working for us. Let's figure out a way to get them out the house and get the other half working for us. I think that's right. But the thing is, in other words, who was behind that? And y'all get upset about the anchor baby thing, and I'm actually against it too. But instead of blaming these poor women, the thing is, who have come from Mexico because the white Spaniard oppressors in their country have taken all the wealth from them, if you freed them from their oppressor, I bet they'd go running back. But so the thing is, they come over, who wrote that anchor baby law? Guess what? The white male politicians in this country,
Those evil white people, I'm telling you. Do you know what really amazes me? Why isn't the Mexicans, why haven't they gone back to try to take Spain back? If there was a claim, I think, that could be made, I think they should own Spain because it was the Spaniards, it was the Europeans that came here to Mexico.
But the thing is, you claim also when they're breaking the law coming over here.
Yeah, they
well,
are.
Who wrote that law? And the thing is, we, if there had been a law, see, this is the double standards they use. The thing is, we, our ancestors, did not break a law when we came over here because the Indians hadn't written one. Why? Because they believed all land belonged to the Creator. So the only reason your ancestors didn't break a law was because they didn't have one because they had a different belief system.
Wait a minute. Renee, let's qualify something. You keep referring to me and my ancestors. What in the hell are you?
Oh, mine too.
You're what?
Mine too.
You're too. Yours too. Okay. Well, you keep labeling like they're yours. They're and you're disassociating yourself from the process.
No, I'm not. Like you say, the thing is, I'm with her in this respect. I think she's trying to work out something that's fair and decent. The thing is, you see, John, really, you're part of the problem. Huh. You see, instead of finding some common ground with her,
we
could actually beat these people, the thing is, you're being divisive because you want all your way. It's all your way or go home. The thing is, this ruling the
I have compromised, Renee, I have compromised enough in my life. There is no more room for compromising. Look where we're at right now. Wait a minute. Now you're going to tell me the stodgy old white farts that got the country again, it was their fault? What are you arguing here?
The thing is, you act like, well, you know, the problem with this country is, you know, women voting. The thing is, who's been in power for the last couple of hundred years? Who made this mess? Let's see, that'd be, what, 44 presidents? All white men, John.
Well, they tried to put it, hey, did you want to see... Hey, you can't outshout me, okay, number one. Did you want to see Hillary Clinton in office as the first woman president? Forget the fact that she's got a communist manifesto behind her.
And I'll tell you why. Because why? I don't like, just like Obama is an Uncle Tom. If there was
Wait a minute. Whoa, wait a minute. Oh, Barack Obama is an Uncle Tom?
Oh, yeah.
You're racist.
No. I don't care. I'll call, just like I might call a woman who's a traitor a biatch. The thing is, if there's a black who's a traitor, I can call him an Uncle Tom. It's somebody who sells out. I don't care if you're a white person who sells out other white people. I'll call you an Uncle Tom.
Brooke?
It's a phrase to describe somebody who, for money, betrays other people.
Wait a minute. wait a minute, did you hear my program the other day? And was with a black attorney, and I read that article that Chris W. Bell, that just happened to be a black man. The title of the story was King Had a Dream, but Blacks Now Face a Nightmare. Did you hear me on that radio program?
No, I didn't.
Oh, for God's sakes, dear. You need to go up in the archive stories on the website, look for King Had a Dream, but Blacks Now Face a Nightmare. And they themselves have sold themselves out to liberals that claimed that they were going to liberate them, and the only thing they've done is turn them into second-class citizens.
Well, I tell you what, like, what's breaking my heart.
So what's this Oreo crap I'm hearing from you?
Wait, what's breaking my heart right now as a South Louisiana person, I know the situation. And unfortunately, I know that a lot of the suffering going on down there, although I really am for these people, I also know that there are many of them who participated in selling out Louisiana. Some of them, in a way, are getting a little payback because...
All right, Renee, we're off into the Gulf oil and all that.
Cajuns do.
Well, and you know what? I've got many other callers that if they had their way, they'd probably tell you to shut up right now.
I'd like to keep her on just a little bit
now,
longer.
I know you would. I know you would. Hey, but
give us a show, John. Put some competition, some color on that white male network. Put me and Brooke on.
Yazzaballs. Okay? Yazza. I'll do that right away, ma'am. No, look. You made a comment about sellout and Uncle Tom. What is that about? That somehow the black people betrayed their own people?
They betrayed everyone. Don't insinuate that she is racist. She is not. And from
she's
you,
a bra burner.
I've heard racism from you coming out on this very conversation. She brought it up earlier that you're attacking me and trying to say that I'm unintelligent. And you're.
I never said that.
Your caller did. I'm sorry, but you support those ideas. And you're on here mocking
I never
Mexican
said that
people
you were
saying,
unintelligent.
Oh, see.
I never said you were.
It's demeaning. It's demeaning. And it's not nice. And just because she called it, Obama has betrayed all of the American people.
I'm going to have to bump Robbie in his hour because I've got black, Mexican, and Jewish jokes I'm going to lay on you. Now, I am not a racist, okay? What is happening to our country right now, it's being balkanized intentionally to cause internal strife. And these people, my point is this simply, Brooke. These people do not want to come here to assimilate. They want to come in to take over. And I'm saying no. I am not against Mexicans. I don't look at a Mexican and go, geez, you beaner, you need to go home. That is not in my makeup. Let's see. This is Tumani in New York. Hello, Tumani. Thank you for holding. Go ahead. Is Tumani there? Probably went to sleep. He's been on hold so long. Okay, put him back on hold. Ivan in Salt Lake. Hello, Ivan.
Hey, John.
Yes.
Hello, John. Hello, Liberty Brooke. Can I call you Liberty Brooke?
Sure.
Okay. I happen to be immigrant coming from different part of the world behind the Iron Curtain. And I dreamed to come out to find a freedom, but luckily I never found a freedom. All I found a freedom to choose my slave driver. How that fit in your book?
That's what happens, and that's what I'm saying. Our reputation in the world has been demolished, and I think that we need to start changing that. We need to start treating these people like how we would want to be treated. These people are coming
great.
Here
if I go to Mexico,
freedom.
If I go to Mexico, I'll demand that I get the same treatment that the Mexican citizens get.
If I go
to Mexico.
You're not going to see that, but we need to stand up and be leaders, and we need to be the first ones to do it, and we need to say thank you for coming to our country. Let us help you. How can we cohabitate together? Uh-huh. How can we ensure liberty for every person on the planet? Why would we have these people
seeking liberty? Why do we all have to come here? Why do we have to have them all come here for opportunity? Why do they not? And this is what I said about Mexico. You know, I'd be happy to send them down with a few dollars and a bag lunch and a handgun. Let them go take over their corrupted government and get it back for their people. I don't want them coming here and taking from these people here. They've got a problem.
Hey,
I will grant you that. Go ahead, Ivan.
Can I get my... Brooke, you misinterpret me. That was just a statement. I wanted to see where you stay on the freedom. By the way, I don't find this any longer the land of the free. It's the land of the sea and the home of the slaves. But Let me bring my sentiments toward these Spanish immigrants that I encounter every day in my life. I live in Utah. I live in Salt Lake. I went south of here, and I encountered them. I went in California and have my encounter with them, and I have nothing but bad feeling about these people. And unfortunately, I have to support John that he's right, that this country pushing their way to impose their culture here in this country. They don't want to accept the rules they'll set up. And I'm offended, too, that they don't have a Bulgarian when I go in the store, but what can I do?
Yeah.
Anyway, let me give you a few examples. What really irritates the crap of me when I see these people. I have nothing against these hardworking people, but they, as soon as they get here, they get this attitude. I'll give you a few good examples. I was running a little shop, and I used to shop in the Smith store here close in my neighborhood, and it's mostly Mexican. I live in the poor neighborhood here that I get a lot of Mexicans. I would go there, try to grab like 2-3 pieces of grocery, and I usually go on the express line. Guess what happened on that express line? There's an arrogant Mexican that either a couple or a woman, you know, that she got a bunch of Florida, she exceeding the 15 items, and that's not enough. She pulled out the food stamps papers and start hanging out with it. And I blow up quite a few times. You know the first thing they say? Oh, you don't like Spanish people, huh?
Well, it sounds to me like you don't.
Say, look, I'm an immigrant myself, but there's some ethic you have to follow in this country.
Ivan, let me ask you a question. You're not in this country. Did you have to go through the immigration process?
I did.
How long did it take you? How long did it take you?
Well, at the time when I entered this country in 1983, it didn't take too long. In 1 year, I got my green card.
Okay.
You know.
You should know what these people have had to go through, being that you've had to go through that. And for you to be inconvenienced at the grocery store line, I'm sorry. But these people are looking at losing their entire lives and their entire families over this.
Oh, well, who asked them to come here, Brooke? Who asked them to come? Did I call them in? No. They came illegally. They are squatters on our land.
Their oppressor was very oppressive. And if we don't stop that, we're looking at having that same thing happen in America. We're about to be the immigrants. That's the real issue. We're about to be running our butts down to their country seeking freedom because the people are taking over this country and we're sitting down and letting it happen. And you, sir, are allowing that to happen by having shows like this. And we're going to be the immigrants. And then we're going to see what it's like when we're in a foreign country trying to seek just a little bit more freedom than what we have in our homeland.
No, I'm not going anywhere.
Burke, I think if you change the direction of your energy, you'll benefit a lot of more. You know, there's a culture distorters or culture destroyers that are running the show in the entire planet. They started with the Russian Revolution or the French Revolution, with the Russian Revolution. By destroying the borders, they destroy the bull arcs of particularism and preserving the cultures. And they keep doing it to these days. You got to understand that.
You want me to change my platform of love?
No, I think, and I wouldn't want you to do that, but I would ask you to be a little bit more realistic because you're slathering on this love-illusion stuff and you're covering up some very important facts. I don't fault you for wanting world peace. But we have world peace when we have laws and respect for each other. They have no respect for our laws right out of the chute.
Laws don't bring about respect. Laws bring about problems.
Oh, really? Then you are an anarchist.
I'm not an anarchist.
So you would do away with all law?
No, I think we need...
Which laws are good?
The ones that protect people's individual liberties.
Okay, liberties, and they're granted that under the Constitution, our law in this country, but it doesn't apply to them because they're here illegally.
Hey, Brooke, did you know that if you look in the history of the world, all the bad things are done in the name of something good?
Yeah.
Exactly what you're running now?
Right, I see that.
Yeah.
You coming to realizing that?
Yeah.
You come to realize?
Ivan, I've got to cut you loose here. I appreciate you calling, but I have many other callers that want to get in here.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. Let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara. Barbara,
Hello.
Are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, this is Barbara Hartwell, and I've been on your network many times. And I have to tell you that I completely agree with your position. We are a constitutional republic with individual rights bestowed by God. And these illegals, they don't have rights. They certainly have God-given rights, but they don't have any rights that are here in terms of being an illegal alien in this country. And they're creating tremendous destruction through crimes. And this has been proven by statistics, rape, murder, drug running, all that stuff.
Please.
And this woman that you have on your show, I'm sorry to say, is a stunning display of ignorance.
We should kick out all of the white people commit rape too, ma'am. We should just kick out all the white people. Just kick everybody out.
It isn't a question of white people. This is not a question of white people versus any other races. It's a question of law. These people are here unlawfully, illegally, and they have no right to be here.
They've got human rights, God-given rights. You just said it. You said they have rights, they don't have rights,
yeah,
they have
rights.
Barbara, she doesn't understand where this human rights manifesto came from. She doesn't understand.
No, I do.
Where did it come from?
The actual document is a UN document.
Oh, boy. No, and we're all in favor of them, aren't we?
No, we're not in favor of what they do, but it just so happened that they wrote a good document that does support your rights.
It doesn't come from the UN documents.
The human rights.
The United Nations is an evil entity. It has nothing to do with the United Nations. This has to do with unalienable rights. Unalienable rights. God-given rights.
Right. Well, that brown person has those God-given rights, too. Thank you very much.
But yes, they do. But however...
When are you going to support that?
Excuse me. In this country, we are dealing with a constitution, and these people, illegal aliens, have no rights in terms of legal rights. They have God-given rights,
excuse
but they don't
me?
Have the legal right to come here illegally...
And then
and
demand.
Do whatever they feel like doing.
That every man was created equal, the document says.
But that has nothing. That has nothing.
It doesn't say every man but the brown man, except for the Mexicans.
No. This is a racist position as far as I'm concerned.
Yours.
How am I? I'm arguing for these people that y'all are throwing out, and you're accusing me of being. Let's ask them. Let's get some of them on the phone and see.
But I don't need to ask them. I don't speak Spanish. I'm an American.
I don't either.
I worked for CIA for 25 years.
Well, that explains it. You worked for the CIA.
It doesn't explain anything to you because you're completely ignorant.
No, it does because the CIA is historically racist, and that's undisputable.
But it has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with that. What we're talking about here, that John Stadtmiller's network, which I've been listening to for many years, and I've been a guest on many of the programs, they are defending the constitutional republic and individual God-given rights as relates to this country.
And all I'm saying is go ahead and do that, but just have a heart about it.
Yeah.
It's not a question of
well,
not having
and Barbara,
a heart.
We're running out of time, dear. We only got like a minute and a half left. I thank you for your call. Look, I wished I had a third or a fourth hour with this one because we could go until the dogs went to sleep. I don't think that we're going to get anywhere here with Brooke Kelly. She's on a mission of peace. Let me ask you a question. Why did you give up on the war movement?
I didn't give up on the war. I'm an anti-war demonstrator. I believe in the tax movement. I mean, I believe in the unification of all of these movements coming in together and working with one another.
Yeah.
And we've got differences, and that's too bad. But, I mean, I'm glad that we're addressing these, and I applaud you for taking on this topic.
Well, and I'll tell you what, at your age, you have more guts at your age than I did at my age. Because I wouldn't have done this.
That's because you quit by that time, huh?
Yeah, I quit the communist movement is what I did.
We are no commies. I don't even appreciate that comment.
Well, I'm
we
sure
are not commies. We are fighting against the commies. Thank
really?
You very much. Yes,
well, did
we
you notice
are.
Did you notice the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto that is America today?
Yes, I did. And one of the planks is to destroy the family unit, which is what they're successfully doing through this legislation.
Ah, but the families that shouldn't be here in the first place.
But they're sending these parents back. The kids don't have to go back because they're natural-born citizens now.
Well, don't you think that responsible parents should be in full charge and take care of their children? So if they've got to go back, what are they going to do with the kids?
Raise them in a country that's not as good as ours, unfortunately.
Well, then why don't we help them with their country get better? But first, we got to get out of the crap hole that we're here
in. Oh, we need to stop policing people around. Let's just stop helping people, okay? Let's not go there.
All right. Hey, we're out of time. Thank you all the callers that called in. I had many more that wanted to get in. Brooke Kelly, simplyseekingfreedom.com. One of these days, Brooke, I'm sure you're going to come back to the Austin area, and I would love to meet you.
Sounds good.
All right, then. All right, folks, thanks for being here today. It was lively, I would say. She's got a lot of guts. Got a lot of guts. I would think some of those issues she takes is a little misguided, but I applaud her for her energy and her stick-to-itiveness. She came on this show for 2 hours.